Seeing as London is the financial capital of the world, what impact might the Brexit have on Basel III? And where does it leave Basel implementation? The Bank for International Settlements, known as the Central Bank of Central Banks, is warning of a period of uncertainty and adjustment, given Britain's status in the global economy and the impact of it withdrawing from the EU. Well, to find out, I've got banking lawyer Bridget King, Director of Finance and Banking at Cliffdecker Hofmeyr on the line. Welcome, Bridget.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Now, we really are in uncharted waters here. How might the Brexit impact the Basel regulations, if at all?
Yeah, indeed. That's a good point. I think the main thing to remember is that whilst the United Kingdom might be exiting the EU, it's not necessarily giving up its seat on the Basel Committee. The Basel Committee is all of the G20 leaders from around the world, and the Bank of England and also the Prudential Regulatory Authority in the United Kingdom are still going to be members of that committee going forward. As far as I know, I haven't heard any announcements that the intention is to leave the Basel committee. And I suppose the link is that the very point of the committee and the accords that they've been putting out is to help banks deal with periods of stress. And something, an event like the Brexit, would be one of those stress events that the Basel Accord is actually trying to assist with.
Yeah, and as we saw, the stress tests conducted in the US just, I think, a day before the Friday referendum results really shook financial markets, and $2 trillion wiped off globally. We saw what happened to RBS and Barclays on Tuesday as well. So it really is important that we do have some level of regulation. I suppose it's the degree to which banks are forced to keep Tier 1 capital in reserve and perhaps sterilized that has many banking executives rather peeved here in South Africa, seeing as ours is a far more closed financial system. But be that as it may, we see that amendments to the Banks Act regulations were published in the Government Gazette recently. What are the material changes that banks will have to be aware of?
Yeah, that's right. They do come into effect tomorrow. Basically, they are implementing the changes that the Basel Capital Accord has fed through. So everything that the Basel Accord decides has to then be transposed into local South African law. So the changes that we are keeping up with affect your liquidity capital ratios, your liquidity coverage ratio, and there's been one or two amendments to the capital disclosure requirements that banks will need to comply with, public disclosure of the liquidity, and also intraday liquidity management. They've tweaked a little bit. What we've seen from the forms is that they're trying to assess local banks' readiness for compliance. So full compliance will only be 1 January 2018. But in the meantime, they want banks in South Africa to start reporting on how far off they are from the Basel III targets in the interim. So that's what will kick in from tomorrow. And the reports that the central bank will be receiving will now show a bank's compliance as at today versus where it will need to be, assuming the fully phased-in implementation of Basel III down the line.
Right, so it really gives a bit of a dashboard approach to this phased-in and managed conversion to a fully Basel III compliant world. Now, that that liquidity coverage ratio, that's really there to ensure that banks have sufficient quality liquid assets to meet any withdrawals or outflows in times of crisis or stress, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So they look at a liquidity stress period of 30 days, and you know, something like, you know, anything could cause a stress period, certainly something like the Brexit, and then they set that ratio to make sure that banks have got sufficient assets to meet whatever cash flows they might have to during that 30-day period. It's currently set at 70%, and then they're going to be increasing it incrementally until it reaches 110%, I think, next year or 2019.
Wow, that is a significant increase over the next few years. And, you know, one can understand why certain banking executives have been rather grumpy and grumbling into their morning cappuccinos when they talk about things like Basel. From a very broad perspective, when you look at a market like South Africa's, which is a fairly closed economy in terms of the way RANDs can enter and exit the economy via exchange controls. Do you think it's fair that we sign up to regulations that are really designed for a far more European, American-style financial system?
Well, I think there's two sides to the Basel III Accords. There are the ones that, you know, there are the amendments that look at the whole system and system-wide shocks. So the requirements there where they're trying to prevent a system-wide event from affecting all of the banks in the sector. And there, I think maybe South Africa is more isolated than the rest of the world. But the other half of the Basel reforms that are being introduced do deal with the macroprudential issues of a bank. And that's looking at the individual banking institution in a period of stress. Mm. So it's going to the resilience of the individual bank as well. So yes, we might be more isolated from the domino effect of system-wide shocks, but certainly the parts of the Basel Accord which assist with the resilience of an individual bank are still relevant.
Mm-hmm. And then as part of the Basel III monitoring, I know that we've got to now submit data on a biannual basis to the Bank of International Settlements. It's mm-hmm. in keeping with a whole lot of supranational type legislation that we see certainly in the tax space with the Common Reporting Standard, with FATCA. What will banks now have to report biannually to the BIS?
That's so true. You couldn't, you know, you used to be able to be up to date with the South African laws. You now need to be compliant with a whole raft of international laws and regulations. But you're quite right. The South African banks will be reporting biannually on their capital adequacy and leverage ratios. And what it will show is where the bank's capital adequacy ratios are currently, where they were in the previous reporting period, and then where they would have to be if they were in a fully phased-in Basel III scenario. So it allows you to compare, I suppose it's almost a readiness test to see what the gap is between where you are now on those levels and ratios and where you'll need to end up once the Basel is fully phased in.
Well, I think one can see now why banks, any big financial services company needs to spend so much time on compliance as we see the increased burden of regulatory compliance, not just here in South Africa, but with those international laws as well. That was banking lawyer Bridget King, Director of Finance and Banking at Cliffdecker Hoffmeyer, on the line talking about Basel III and Brexit, and also about how those new regulations are going to change the banking industry here in South Africa. Okay.